Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
As a grown woman who was a 15 spinning her wine on my back.
I'm heartbroken in a way that I've never been heartbroken for anything in my real life.
We watched Zayn's new music video.
Fix it, bitch.
Oh, God, it's a child.
And so I said, let me just go ahead and rewatch Good Omens season one. Like, it can't hurt.
And those are always the famous last words. It can't hurt.
He's affected me mind, body, and spirit.
Because I understand that you're fangirling, but I have some jealousy.
Look, we had to take a break because we just had a whole come to Jesus moment. Welcome back to this podcast.
Okay, welcome back.
Okay, but I completely understand. We're just going to continue this conversation. I've been obsessed with Good Omens, which we'll circle back to. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. But I've been going insane, losing my mind, cuckoo bananas. And
it's the only thing she can talk about, think about. She's watched
about.
The season that only came out Friday twice. It's Sunday.
Cry about, like,
text about, post about.
We and Amber is rightfully so
jealous. I am jealous, and I just realized that I'm jealous of her having something to fangirl over that is new and fresh. Mm-hmm. Because I haven't had something recent and new and fresh to fangirl over. And I am jealous every single time she texts me that she wants to kill David Tennant. I'm like, bitch, I want to kill somebody too. For some deep, heart-wrenching reason.
Right, because
some parasocial reason.
It's been coming at me from all angles. And I feel like we're talking about love. Like, I feel like we're talking about love as an older sister to younger sister. I'm like, you're going to get there too. It's going to happen for you because it didn't happen for me
right. For
years and years and years until Our Flag Means Death.
Ugh.
On this level, because of course, Good Omens came out before Our Flag Means Death, but it didn't hit those levels for me. Mm-hmm. And I was jealous of that fandom. I remember in 2019 when it came out, I loved it and I love David Tennant and I think he's so hot, but it just didn't click in the same way. It clicked like that night that I watched it and I was like, oh, they're so cute. And I read a couple fanfics and then I was kind of bored.
Mm-hmm. Wait, this is
season one of Good Omens.
Right.
And then Our Flag Means Death came out and I was like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to be alive again. Like seriously. And it's some of the stuff that we've been talking about on this podcast, like from episode one or so.
Just that.
Like where it's like
first night of like, falling into the rabbit hole.
And we thought that was gone forever. Like before we started this podcast, before we made the short, we thought that was
we thought we had to pack it away, put it under the bed.
Especially in college, like when we were separated and nobody understood those things. Mm-hmm. Like it was like, those are for child years.
We're
like,
done.
When Amber comes to visit, you'll see what I mean. Like if you play Kiss You, we're going to go insane.
But that's just, but that's just fun. Ha, ha,
like fun.
That's just an inside joke.
That's just between us. Little sister things.
No.
That we do.
It's not. It's not. It's it not, is. It's who but we it's are. Not. It's who we are.
And we need it. It's like, it's good to go and see the first episode of Good Omens season 2 with all these people at Comic-Con and like not be able to move.
Right.
Or not be able to breathe. There's a picture of me at the Good Omens party at Comic-Con that Amber took that I didn't know she was taking, of me staring really intensely that I posted on Instagram in one of my photo dumps. And you don't even know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at David Tennant.
That's crazy because I didn't even know what you were looking at when I took the photo. Right. I was just kind of like, oh, she looks beautiful. And you know what? You looked beautiful because you had the faraway look in your eye of love about some
man.
Some man, but some TV show that you've just been hooked on. And I want the feeling again. And you know what? I am binging What Will We Do in the Shadows. And I'm on season 3. And that is pretty fast for when I started up again.
I'm really excited that you're doing that. But I would agree. I didn't feel that way about What We Do in the Shadows.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. I don't... I'm getting to know the characters and I'm like, oh, I see who you are.
Right.
As a vampire person.
It might be like a love for the other side of the fandom stuff, which is like, this is really cool television that like I would love to make. That's how I feel.
And I texted you this. I said, watching What Would You Do in the Shadows? That you looks did. Like something that they look like they have so much fun acting in.
Yes.
Like, that's what I think I would have fun acting in. Like a completely different character in a completely different universe. That would be so easy for me to like really make something out of it for myself, but like in the universe that the creator or the director like intended.
Because it's so grounded but ridiculous.
It is so grounded but ridiculous.
And that's the balance.
Right. It's the yes. I also was thinking the other day, I was like, everything is so complicatedly simple. People say it's simply complicated. It's complicatedly simple.
You mean life or What We Do in the Shadows?
Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. Both.
Yep.
Everything.
It is.
Like everything is so simple.
Yep.
That it is so complicated how simple a situation is. Stay with me now.
I'm staying.
Okay. I'm about to say something.
Say it.
This is going to sound crazy. And it's not right. I need to explain myself. I need to explain myself. This sentence isn't going to be correct. I'll explain myself after. Maybe that's what Tiana was talking about, the Virgo in me.
Oh, you are. This is your Virgo moon.
Okay. Everybody in the world feels the same amount of feeling.
Yes. I had that realization the other day.
The only thing that is different is how it comes across outwardly. But
yes,
like everybody,
no, yes,
but like everybody, and this is something that I've realized in like humanizing all of my loved ones, family, friends, everybody. Everybody, if they are this amount of angry, and this person is this amount of angry, the way that it comes across
is manifest
and then comes across outwardly, that's basically manifest.
Yeah.
Will be different.
It will be so different.
Someone could be screaming and someone could be silent. This is so simple.
It's so simple, but it takes a long time for people to realize this.
But like for real, like to genuinely let it sink in.
Internalize. Right,
when I'm explaining it, I'm like, they've had so many like sitcom episodes about this, like how friends reacted. These are all the reels of like my friend reacts like this, but I react like this.
Right, like different signs, like Aries, like air signs, fire signs.
Somebody will internalize something that is so equally traumatic as something that you've internalized and just completely hold it a different way than you. They could hold it and they just come across as very happy. They could hold it and come across as very angry, or they could hold it and come across as like
this.
Both.
This has been so crucial to me, but understanding myself.
It doesn't, but my point, exactly. But my point is, it's not how people are coming across. It's about how you think of the person. Just because the way that they're coming across on the outside is either more acceptable or more or less acceptable in society, or like even more or like able to pick up on or like obvious, doesn't mean that that person isn't capable of that feeling. Not everybody is able to communicate what they are feeling.
Exactly.
Even though it is the same amount of intensity as something that everyone feels.
I'm gonna say something crazy.
Say it.
This has made me understand myself more. Mm-hmm. And this whole concept has been like the heart of why I'm so obsessed with Good Omens.
Okay.
Like, like,
wait, like, hold the thought. My reaction is because I watched the second episode in Ballroom 20 and I did like it.
The first episode of the second season.
First episode of second season. And so I should go back and watch it. Continue.
So I'm going to tell you just a little bit. I'm not going to spoil anything for you or the listeners, although okay. I really, really desperately need people to talk about the actual explicit thing. So if you're out there, please get in my DMs. I'm not kidding. Like, some of you y'all have already been in my DMs about this, and I'm not kidding. I'll back and forth paragraphs to you all night about this if you're really willing. So let me just
y'all
put that
heard
out there.
Her here.
Second of all, you saw the first episode of season two. Crowley, the demon that David Tennant plays, who used to be an angel, and he's been a demon for millions of years. Aziraphale has been an angel for millions of years. And Crowley is like that typical archetype. Literally every single person I've ever been obsessed with, like Bucky Barnes, Deadpool, like these type of people that are like, dark or like or dark humor in terms of Deadpool, but actually really dark too, like dark outwardly and like brooding and like maybe uses humor to deflect and like I don't feel anything like too cool. They are the most emotional.
They're so like, emotional.
They're the most emotional. And when David Tennant, I'm sorry, when David Tennant cries.
Sorry, everyone out there.
His doctor in Doctor Who is the doctor that cries the most in New Who, because I haven't seen Classic Who. That's why it was number 6, not in my top 5. I will watch Classic Who after this. Don't worry. But he's the most weepy person in the world on Doctor Who. And then he cries as Crowley, which you will get to, and I'll be sorry when you do.
Oh.
But I'm like, it allows me to make sense of myself, because I'm like, for so long I internalized that I was not emotional.
Right.
Like that I was like cool, calm, cool, calculating, all these like adjectives that they give you in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Like that's me. Like whenever people are like, are you calm, cool, calculating? Are you emotional, needy, weepy? Mm. And I'm like, well, I'm not that.
Right.
So I don't have any emotions. So right. I just handle my emotions really well.
Right.
And I do handle my emotions really well, but maybe a little too well, maybe a little too repressive and putting those down.
Yeah.
But watching these characters and most recently Good Omens, it's like, oh, they have so many emotions. And a lot of times they lie about their emotions to their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
They lie about them to themselves sometimes. And then, but then even if you get past the point of lying to yourself and you can really feel your emotions, there's no guarantee you're going to tell people.
I remember I used to ask you over and over again. And it was, I think it was because low key, I was having that realization, the same one that we were just talking about back then. Like I was like, hold up. If I be having bad days, man is probably having a bad day too.
Sometimes.
You know, literally after our parents got divorced.
Oh God.
I was like, wait, I think this kind of affected me a little bit. Did it affect Amanda?
Do you want to know something?
And I was like, I don't know.
I had a dream that I was taking a nap in our grandmother's house and I woke up crying.
Wait a minute.
This morning.
Amanda, I keep on having dreams. I have reoccurring dreams at that house.
I said, let me just go up to mommy's room.
I'm sorry, Amanda. I'm so sorry.
But like, yeah, like, God, this episode is crazy.
Insane. I need to go on Patreon.
No. We'll give it to the people. But guys, we're just going to be updating you on stuff that's happened in the last month and a half, last 2 months almost.
Yes. Because we haven't had mics in our hands in a while.
In a really long time.
We like to talk.
I've been texting Amber like, get me on the mic. Put me in, coach.
She's actually said that. She's actually said all these things. And so do I. I mean, I do to an extent, but I forgot everything that I wanted to say.
I'm going to wrap up the Good Omen stuff.
Okay.
Because I just do need to get it off my chest and so that we can move on so that I can stop bringing it up. Mm.
Sometimes all it takes is to be dramatic about it.
I heard. I saw somebody post that David Tennant was coming back to Doctor Who. I cannot remember how I saw it. Maybe it was on Twitter or Tumblr or Instagram, in that order. Mm. But I saw that and I said, I was already rewatching Doctor Who. And I saw that and I started up again. I was like, no, this is going so fast. Like, I was like, I'm going so fast. I'm going full speed ahead. I'm catching up in order to see that. And then a 10,000 word fan fiction was up on my iPad from like, I don't know, months ago, that was like, this is a Good Omens fanfic that like a lot of people love. But at the time when I saw it, I was like, I don't really want to read this. It's like 10,000 words and I'm not really on the like Good Omens kick. Like, I've only seen it once and then I watched it again all the way through, but like skipped only until the Crowley Aziraphale parts. And I was like, I'm not feeling this. And then for some reason I read it and I was like, I'm so obsessed with this. Mm. Maybe I should, when is season 2 coming out? And it was coming out this summer. And so I said, let me just go ahead and rewatch Good Omens season 1. Like, it can't hurt.
And those are always the famous last words.
It can't hurt.
I'll have complete control this time.
Like, maybe I'll like maybe
it'll be fine.
It'll be cool. Like, I've seen it before. Like, I got through it.
Uh-oh, I'm sorry to bring this up, but that's what I said about One Direction the night that I started making the playlist, because I had gotten obsessed with them before. I watched all the video diaries before that night. I had seen those video diaries before, and I was like, you know what? Cute boys.
Yeah.
And then that night, I was like, oh, I remember these boys. Cute boys.
It's that feeling. What is that feeling?
I got this.
Like, we need to coin that phrase.
It's ego. Like, it's cockiness. It's way too much.
Fangirl ego death.
That's what it is.
It's fangirl ego death.
Because
it's like, I got this.
Like,
this is familiar. I've had a pattern before.
I got this. Like, I know that whatever happens, I'm going to watch this and know that this
will
is
not
nothing.
Affect. This will not
this
affect
This is
me.
Just insert whatever it is. Insert whatever it is here. This is just a show. This is just
this
a man.
This is just a man.
This is just a TV show. Like,
No, it isn't.
If it isn't, then it just isn't.
Right.
If it isn't, it is just not, because it's just going to affect you in a very specific way
and
you will never have been able to predict.
And you can't control it either. I think this helps with my control issues, actually. Mm. And I'm getting off track, but like, fangirling helps with my control issues because I have a lot of them. Mm. I need to be in control or else I get some type of anxiety. In the last years of releasing that and like learning to let go and really just be chill, it has been real ego death through psychedelics. But it's also been when you're at a concert and you really just let go and you're like, I don't give a fuck who's looking at me. I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks about this. I am going to dance as hard as I'm dancing and scream until my lungs give out.
It's a safety
because of
thing.
That.
Yeah.
And because this is me. Mm-hmm. This is real. This is me. Mm-hmm. I'm letting go. Like, and I don't have any control about how David Tennant makes me feel. Like, I genuinely have no control over it. And it's a feeling that I'm like, like, give this to me.
But it's also interesting because yes, that is true, but it's also about the space. You feel safe in letting go because of how much you love the thing.
And because other people feel the same way.
Exactly. Like, you know that the thing that you love is is worth acting a fool.
Acting a fool.
In the stadiums. And then you also know that everyone in that stadium, or not, maybe not everyone, but a lot of the percentage of people there know what's up. If they turn their heads, they're not going to be judging. They're going to be like, girl's feeling something.
Literally, like, when I was at that SpongeBob concert, when Tom Kenny sang all those SpongeBob songs, which you can look at our TikTok. It's getting too many views.
Oh, right. I'm literally,
those notifications, like, stop.
The mosh pit, that's not a mosh pit.
I know it's not a mosh pit. It was a joke. Like, I know what a mosh pit is.
There was a dog there. They wouldn't mosh pit with a dog.
It was literally
there.
A picnic. It was a screening of the SpongeBob movie, and Tom Kenny just happened to be there. Okay, it was the best night of my life. But as soon as he said, I'm going to play some SpongeBob songs, my legs gave out. And right. My roommate, Esty, who's been on the show, had to catch me. And the two people behind me said, that's the right reaction.
Exactly. Because everybody has grown up with the place. Like, I mean, with the show. SpongeBob is a thing that has raised a generation.
And
not
they've grown
only
up with the place, Bikini Bottom.
Grown up with the place, Bikini Bottom. Because it raised a generation. And not only that, it raised the 30-year-olds that were watching it when it came out.
Exactly. 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 So, but yeah, it has let me release. Like, I have felt so euphoric this week, being like, I'm literally losing my head because of Good Omens. But anyway, I'm just giving the short timeline. I rewatched Good Omens season one, and long story short, it wasn't okay. I did not got this.
No.
I fell into a rabbit hole. I have only been reading like Crowley and Aziraphale fanfics every single night, and then throw in like the 10th Doctor and Rose, because I have to have David Tennant making out with somebody and more in my head every night.
Speaking of making out,
that's just what has led to going to Comic-Con and seeing his face literally everywhere because of Good Omens and Doctor Who, and I'm not okay, okay? And a lot of what I got was David Tennant-centric. Speaking of what?
Speaking of making out.
Oh, no.
Seconds before we started filming this episode, we watched Zayn's new music video where he is making out with a woman for like the whole half of the video. And as a grown woman who was a 15 minutes spinning her wine on my bed. As a grown woman,
I'm sorry,
who as a 15-year-old child fantasized about making out with Zayn over and over again.
Oh, no.
Over and over again. Over again. They have over again by One Direction off the Take Me Home album. I just didn't know that I was going to have to see that, and I wasn't ready to see it.
I'm sorry for all the Zayn girls.
And he is really... Let's all say it together.
Hot.
Beautiful. He is really, let's all say it together. Pretty.
Beautiful.
He is really, let's all say it together. Hot.
Magnificent.
He is really, let's all say it together. He's got a symmetrical face.
He does.
And what else do we love? His eyelashes.
I'm really sorry.
I'm pissed.
Really sorry to
I'm
all the
pissed.
Okay, but Amber, you need to check your privilege. Because you are not a Zayn girl. Okay,
that's right.
Don't pretend.
You're right. And so I want to say also, I'm so sorry to all the Zayn
because
girls.
Can you imagine?
I couldn't. If
because
I,
he
if
hasn't
this is how
been
I'm feeling right
he's
now,
been
and
silent
I'm just
for
you
years.
Know, here floating in the world as a One Direction fan.
He's been silent for years, and then to have Mary that,
girl.
And I know we're late on this. Okay, we said it was a catch up episode, but to have that man Mm-mm. be silent for years. I'm not even like being
actually like
facetious,
silent,
like actual silent. Like
mic.
We have not heard him talk.
We haven't heard his accent.
The only thing everyone said when they sent it to me was, what the fuck is his accent?
That's what people said to me.
That's what everyone said.
I was like, y'all, he's from Bradford. And
I'm a Bradford boy.
Okay. And I want to say that's what everyone said to me too. And so I understand. But then at the same time, I'm kind of like,
have you never seen Love Island?
That's exactly the next sentence out of my mouth. We are the generation that is really obsessed with Love Island. No, and like a lot of like, my friends have
you
seen it.
You know these accents.
So you and I know that you know
Jordan.
Right.
Bradford.
Yeah, but like North. I know that they know these accents because sometimes I'll be watching Love Island and somebody who's an asshole, maybe they're an asshole, they'll come on and they'll start talking and I'm like, why do they sound like Zayn?
See, that is so crazy because at the same time that you were telling me about all of the One Direction accents, I was watching Doctor Who and hearing all those different accents because the Ninth Doctor is Northern.
We're like, oh, Zayn talks like the Ninth Doctor.
Yes.
That's interesting because that's how I kind of started to associate everything. I used to be like, oh, like Harry talks the most like the people in Harry Potter. And then God forbid we bring up Spider-Man, but Tom Holland would speak and I'd be like, he is posh as hell.
Posh.
God forbid we bring up Spider-Man on this ridiculous catch up.
You need to watch the video because look at our set. Like, it's honestly like kind of appalling.
Actually, I want to say this is the best setup we've ever had. And I want to say props to Amber.
It is props to Amber because we have, well, these are all her blankets.
And then can I also talk about.
These are literally all her blankets. We have a One Direction blanket, Jonas Brothers, Spider-Man, and a Harry, like whatever this is, tapestry.
And I've started a collection of purple stuffed animals. I found a purple stitch. I found a purple stitch and someone asked me the other day, they're like, are you sure it was an angel? And I was like, you think I'm a dumbass that wouldn't know Stitch from Angel?
Exactly.
I was like, no, it's
Angel
a
has those little
stitch.
Things out of her forehead.
Look,
and
it's
she's
a purple
pink,
fucking stitch.
Okay? Like she's pink. She's not purple. Don't be stupid.
And here's Candy. I've had her since third grade. My purple penguin.
Amber. She has all these stuffed animals. Like every single time she saw anything with a face at Comic-Con, I was like, girl,
we
don't
have to keep
buy
walking.
That. We
now,
have to keep walking.
The last
she bought
day,
so much.
I also want to say Amanda and I broke our banks. Amanda and I couldn't get out of the parking lot on the last day of the day,
no,
on the last day of Comic-Con.
Our cards declined.
Because our cards declined because we broke our banks. Both of us at the same time went insane at Comic-Con. And we've discussed how we've been at Comic-Con with more money in our banks and like barely bought anything. And then this time specifically when we had specifically low balances and low savings, we were like, fuck it.
This is broke bitch
I
hour.
Want this.
This is hot mess hour.
It's hot mess broke bitch hour.
But we got what we wanted, okay?
Cheers.
We got what we wanted. All right. And just to round out the fact that I'm literally losing my mind, like, I'm not even kidding. Does anyone want to talk about Good Omens? Because I'm heartbroken in a way that I've never been heartbroken for anything in my real life.
And I'm jealous that she's feeling like that.
And I said to Amber, to put it into terms that anyone could understand, it feels like that moment, the first time you ever watched Gotta Go My Own Way in High School Musical 2.
You did say
not,
that.
Not like what you feel now as an adult who understands that they're going to get back together very fast.
The first time.
Because this was the dream couple. This was not only Troyella, but also Zanessa in real life. They were the it couple.
It was,
you're 11,
you're 10, you're 7, you're 9,
whatever, how old
the
you are.
The lighting was there. She took off the necklace.
She took
ran
off the
into
necklace.
Her mom's van. She
left.
It was right after she just told Sharpay off. She had the adrenaline.
She said,
tell her hot Zac Efron looking man.
She said
what she needed to say at the age of 17.
She said, you've been brainwashed by the society and you don't love me enough. Bye, bitch.
And then
and she
ran
left.
Beautifully
and
away.
If you've seen Good Omens season 2, I think that's a pretty good metaphor. Okay.
Oh my God. I really got to watch this.
But it's not two teenagers that will get back together by the end of the movie. It's two.
Don't say
celestial
anything.
Beings. One is an angel and one is a demon that have known each other for millions of years. Okay. And we have to wait for season. I don't even know if there's a season 3. We have to wait for season 3 announcement because of the strikes.
Support the strikes.
Because of the strikes. We don't know if there's going to be a season 3. And even if there were, Neil can't start writing it. Okay. So we're looking at 3 more years. Okay. If you want to find me, I'll be wistfully looking into the distance or reading Archive of Our Own. Fix it, fix. And that's the it. That's it for me.
That's right. Fix it, fix. That's what she fucking said.
Fix it, bitch. Fix it, bitch.
I like fix it, fix. Whoever has the whoever claims that they can fix something better be named Fix. Don't spit on my
stop.
Bed.
I keep spitting out.
While you were talking about Good Omens and slightly Doctor Who, I did remember that there is something that I have been feeling recently that was very intense. What? I started watching Degrassi again.
Mm-hmm.
But like in a real way.
Yeah.
But it was on accident.
Yeah.
Oh! I was like, I don't even know what got me into it. Then I remember it. Do you remember it?
No.
Okay. So Cassie Steele, Manuela Santos. She posted this TikTok, but it's an old TikTok, and I'm pretty sure I've seen it before, but I re-saw it. It came up on my For You page again. And it's her as a grown woman in the You Got the Look season 3, episode 3 thong when Manny has the revamp. And I was like,
doing the bus it challenge.
Doing the bus it challenge. And I just about had a fit. I just about had a fit.
She did. That's what got you back into Degrassi?
That's what got me back into Degrassi, because I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. And then I just watched like maybe every single one of Cassie's videos. And like, she's so like millennial, like with her editing. Like I'm like, girl, what you were talking about.
Right, the millennial pause.
And I'm like, she does her like get readies with me, and I think she's adorable. I love her. But I was like, oh my God. But anyways, the reason why I was like, I have to watch this is because growing up, I was like, do I want to be her or be with her? That type of thing.
Yep.
And so I watched this video and I was like, her, with her.
Yeah.
With her. Confirmed. And it was so, and so then I went back and I watched it, and now I'm watching it.
From the beginning or from that episode?
No, I started watching it from that episode. I don't need to see 2 and 1. I already know. I can tell you what happens.
Have you? Do you think you've seen 2 and 1 the most? Did you ever have any times where you like were rewatching?
I've seen 1 through 4 the most, because when I found it online, I found it and then got up to season 5, episode 1, and it kept on freezing, the bootleg version. And so that's when I said, mother, get me every single one on DVD.
Right. And you had to pause.
I'm gonna need to be able to watch it all the way through.
Have this.
And I can't find the last like 5 seasons. Please get it for me. And
that's how I was with Invader Zim.
Right. And that's why Chris, well, right.
And I said, I need this, like, yeah. Get it.
So that's why Christmas season, or that Christmas break, was one when we, that's when I was like, I'm going to have to take up the television.
It was like, we only got DVDs that year.
Yeah.
And our parents were like, what's up with our children?
Kids are sick. No, they were probably
our
like.
Kids are sick.
they were honestly like, okay.
That's it. That's all
our
we asked for.
So insane.
They said whatever.
They were like, that's right.
They said, okay.
I'm rewatching Degrassi, and I have never watched it this old in my life. Mm-hmm. And so this is the first time that I'm seeing them as kids. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
When was the last time you watched it?
I think when I was 19. So I think maybe the last year I saw them in.
Oh.
And so even.
Whoa, that's a long time ago, Amber.
I know, I'm 25. It is. Like, that's the last time I watched it all the way through.
It had been 4 years for me with Doctor Who also. So this is weird that it's happening.
Yeah. And so I just would, even if I was watching season 1, I'd be like, oh, they're tiny. But then by
right,
the time
but
you're
I got a teenager.
To yeah. By the time I got to senior year, even when I was 19, they were like 16, 17 or whatever. I'd be like, but I'm still seeing them how I remember them as older than me.
Exactly.
When I first watched
and
it.
Also,
and
so you
now
were
I'm
just
watching
that
it and
age.
I'm like, oh God, it's a child. It's a child. I'm watching every single storyline and I'm like, that is a child. And even the children that are pissing me off and bothering me, I'm like, that's a child who doesn't know, like,
yeah,
like doesn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or is like, I know every single one of these characters in and out so well because I've seen this every single year of my life.
Yeah.
Like 11 to 19.
But.
That I'm like, I see, but like I just see every single character who they're going to become and what they're dealing with at the time that they haven't revealed to the audience yet.
And
when they're being an asshole.
You can, yeah.
And then, but now there's a but. But. Here's where it's like the fourth wall is broken, because there is a writer. There's always a writer. There's always a creator. And the thing with having such a big ensemble cast on a show like Degrassi is that they're trying to get so many different stories out that they have to use the same pot of kids to tell a bunch of different stories. And so sometimes the kids will act almost out of the character that they've been pre-established to be.
Right.
Like, sometimes I can really keep up with Spinner's storyline and his like inner struggle and his inner strife. But sometimes I'm like, I really feel like that part was kind of really out of character. I feel like Spinner would have known better and not done that in this episode mm-hmm. by this point. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was for the plot and they needed somebody, someone of somebody that they were already paying to do something for someone else's storyline.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah. And I feel the same way about Jimmy.
That's a lot of, that's like a pitfall of being on a long running soap opera is yeah. because you can get away with stuff like that because as long as it's dramatic,
people fall.
People can believe it.
Right. People can believe it. And also with such a long running soap opera, your audience falls off and comes on so quickly that it's like, they'll get it. Someone will get it. If they tune in, they'll get it. If they're interested enough, then it'll be too late. The show's already out there. We got our profits. And also right. like soap operas like Young and the Restless and All My Children and things that our mother watched.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Should we go
get
to,
into it?
Should we get into, what should we get into? Comic-Con?
Okay, we haven't even gotten into
anything on our list.
Let's do a quick show and tell for Comic-Con.
Quick show and tell for Comic-Con. We had an amazing time at Comic-Con.
Amazing time in the exhibit hall.
We had such amazing time. We spent way too much time in the exhibit hall every single day, all 4 days. We were in the exhibit hall because the actors weren't there because of the strike. We went to some parties. We went to the Good Omens panel and party.
We got some pins.
We hung out with some friends. We just bopped around. We went to the lesbian bar in San Diego, which was a fun time.
Yep.
But I feel like it was our first time doing Comic-Con completely just the two of us. And it was just the two of us.
And also just like kind of as Comic-Con and a vacation.
Yeah, like we were just like getting cocktails and like eating really good food and like
and going home when we were
stuff.
Tired and not being crazy, not overtiring ourselves and not, we didn't sleep outside once.
And
we were never planning to, but like
no,
we really just like went and did what we wanted to do. We took what we wanted to come from Comic-Con.
I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, but I think it was a blessing in disguise that the actor strike happened this Comic-Con. Because if it hadn't, then David Tennant would have been on the Good Omens panel and I would have had to sleep outside.
And
then
that's right.
I would have had to see David Tennant in person, which I never have. And I hope that he never hears this or nobody tell him this, but I would do crazy things to that man.
Amanda.
Okay? I'm saying it. Like
what?
Stop. I'm stopping there because of my Christian repression.
Amanda.
That's it. That's all I'm going to say. But like, he's affected me mind, body, and spirit.
David Tennant and your wife. Come get her.
No. Today, his wife posted a story using they, them pronouns. for David. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh my God, David's non-binary. And I'm like, let's not get carried away. They have a non-binary child. Maybe they're just normalizing like gender neutral pronouns. Oh. However, if David is non-binary,
that would be enough.
Then I will lose my mind. And so that's all I want to say.
If David Tennant is using they, them just to neutralize the idea of it for his non-binary child, that would be enough.
Yeah, no.
Eliza Schuyler.
He's literally been wearing a non-binary pin. Like he's wearing like trans kids. He's wearing like leave trans kids alone t-shirts. So this is just to say I'm a supporter of every single thing. Let's move on. Let's do the halls. Amber, introduce what you've got to say.
Okay. So here are my pins that I've started to build. So last year is when I started my pin collection. This actually isn't very impressive. I have a like snaps pin. I have a Lewis.
Hey, Lewis. Life is short. When you're done. We're on this earth to have some fun. And that's the way things are. Tell them, brother, when we're human.
And we're gonna be. I'm gonna play my whore. I'm gonna live the high life.
I'm gonna do my best to take my place in the sky.
When is it sun or sky?
Sun.
Okay. And then I have the Jolly Roger.
From Peter Pan. Because I was like, from Once Upon a Time, and Amber was like, from Peter Pan, bitch. I was like,
girl, you know that sounds crazy.
And then my pins, we took so long to find a lanyard. I was just wanted a pink lanyard.
We
that
took
was, like,
so long to find
to
the
me.
Lanyard.
And then we went to see Barbie on the Thursday, and while we were there, we were at a comics and stuff, and Amber was like, Amanda, that's a pink Doctor Who lanyard. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Got my eye out.
And it says smaller on the outside, and you know that most people, when they step inside the TARDIS, they say it's bigger on the inside. And Clara says it's smaller on the inside.
Outside.
Sorry. Clara says it's smaller on the outside. So that's a little bit of a reverse for you.
Right.
And it has and it has little TARDISes on it, but it also has a little TARDIS on the front and then a little TARDIS on the back. But these pins, You Wear Fine Things Well, which I got at the Our Flag Means Death meetup, where I was Barbie Blackbeard, and it was so much fun. I love that fandom. Honestly,
everybody had a great time. Everybody's really so friendly.
Time. Like, everybody in that fandom is so gay and like genderqueer and nice and like just gets what's up, and like we run fandom. I'm sorry. Queer people, like anybody who's marginalized runs fandom. First of all, like black people create pop culture and run it, and then like queer people literally are the literally foundation of fandom. Like, and you cannot tell me any otherwise. I'm pissed off that Comic-Con likes to brand itself as like for the fanboys. And I'm like, you try to get a season of a television renewed with just fanboys.
No, honestly.
Barbie has
they don't know what they're doing.
The fastest like worldwide box office.
And let's just go
Warner
ahead and
Brothers.
Smoothly shift on into Barbie.
Like, because it's aimed at girls, it's marketed at girls. Girls run fandom too. So that's like my little rant, and I'll return to it. We'll return to it. Let's wrap back around. But my pins,
yeah,
really fast. I have a pin called Obsessed with Our Flag Means Death. I have a pin that says possibly even Christians, which is totally the last thing we need in this house, which is from What We Do in the Shadows. These Good Omens pins that are Aziraphale and Crowley from the opening title sequence of Good Omens. This pin of Kirk and Spock kissing, and they're the birth of Slash fanfic, again, by queer girls, queer fangirls, I'll say, because their gender identities, I don't know what they were, but they were fangirls. This little pencil bird thing from Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland is my favorite Disney movie. Like,
I
Disney
love that
animation movie.
I have earrings from Alice in Wonderland.
In right now?
Yeah.
You can learn a lot of things from the flowers. Oh, especially in the month of June. You were born in June.
That's what I was supposed to say.
And then Jack Skellington. And those are my pins.
Beautiful. So this is a pudgy penguin. I saw it. You guys heard the stuffy face situation. I saw a cute penguin. Penguins are my favorite animal. It's kind of a, and then I found out after that it's a blend of Club Penguin and Webkinz, as in it has a code that I'm going to register. I still haven't registered. Give a thumbs up if you want to see us register the baby.
And then at the Good Omens party, they gave us this free poster. And
they had a little scavenger hunt for us to do, and it was fun. They had espresso martinis.
Everything there made me upset.
It was a good time.
I'm not doing well.
It was fun.
About Good Omens. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't talk to me about it.
Right.
If you do, please get in my DMs again.
That's the rule. Speaking of Barbie, speaking of fanboy, speaking of fangirl, there was a very limited supply of Barbie merch at this year's Comic-Con, which if it was a boy heavy marketing system, I think that there would have been more merch.
You mean if there was a girl heavy marketing system, there would have been more merch?
No way. Like if Barbie was like boy heavy.
Oh.
But yeah, also what you're saying. Same thing, same gist.
Yeah, like I feel like I overheard some people at Comic-Con being like, there's a lot of Barbies here.
But there wasn't Barbie merch.
And it was
so
like,
do you see the disconnect?
But also it's like, why shouldn't Barbie be something that's at Comic-Con? It's based on a toy. A lot of people like it. Like a lot of people. Like Barbie.
And a lot of people.
And Barbie has movies. It's a franchise. Before this movie, it was a franchise of films and dolls. And what else is that? Action figures, Funko Pops, Hot
animated
Wheels,
movies,
Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, how come all of that counts as fandom that should be at Comic-Con,
but
Barbie
can?
Like, there's
exactly.
Literally a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles activation at Comic-Con, and there was nothing to do with Barbie at Comic-Con. And I'm just like, who the fuck do you think we are?
Right.
Who the fuck do you
like,
think
what do you think this
I
is?
Am?
And what do you think is the difference? Because we have the same intensity as you do. You just, for some reason, think that you're superior.
What's the difference between going insane for One Direction and going insane for Spider-Man? One is legitimized in the eyes of men. That's it.
Yeah, we have them both up here.
That's it.
So
like,
clearly it's
there was
validated.
There was a K-pop band that was playing the fandom party, and it's literally like just the fandom party at Comic-Con, and it's like the sixth annual one. And I overheard some people in line being like, yeah, I'm not going to fucking go to the fandom party. Like, it's just going to be full of people who aren't Comic-Con people who are just K-pop fans. And I'm like, this is in line for the Good Omens party, which we waited 2 hours in line for. So how is that any different? And how is waiting 24 hours in line to see the Marvel panel at Hall H any different from people camping out to see One Direction?
Right.
On the Today Show.
Right.
Like, how
You're
is
seeing
that
something that you want to see? Like,
how
you
is
really
that
feel like you want to
any
see?
Different?
Just like, don't rag on it. Like, there's no reason to.
It's not superior because men like it. Period.
Period.
It's not superior because most and also not only men like it. Spider-Man is not so complex.
For men, it's
that
not for boys.
Only men can understand it.
Right. And One Direction isn't for girls. Like, they have good music. A lot of dads like One Direction music.
And I would say that teenage girls predict trends and run the music industry, at least. And I would go as far as to say that teenage girls run the film and TV industry too.
Yeah.
Because if teenage girls are obsessively rewatching your shows and television and movies, you will be successful. There was literally an entire fandom for The Social Network movie. Whoever is not marginalized gets the privilege of not having to know whatever the marginalized people are going through. So like, I'm always like, whenever white people ask me about my hair, I'm like, I know everything about your hair and you know nothing about mine.
Yeah.
Because we live in a society. And it's the same thing with like boys. If I'm like the only girl hanging out with a bunch of boys, I have to assimilate to understanding what they're talking about and their references, because that's what's in quote unquote cooler, and that's what's more valuable culture to know. So like, I know all the Star Wars references. I know all the Lord of the Rings references. I can keep up, but they don't have to do that vice versa. And in fact, if they did do it vice versa, it would be seen as like gay or like sissy or weaker, or like, it's not like essential knowledge.
Yeah.
Like for me, knowing who Gollum was essential knowledge. And so I watched Lord of the Rings. I made sure I knew what that was. I watched Star Trek. I made sure I knew what that was so that I could keep up in nerd culture. Mm-hmm. I love those things.
Yeah.
But it's also a way to, it's like a language that you can have with men to feel valuable. But they don't have to do that vice versa.
Exactly.
They don't have to know about Barbie.
Yeah.
They don't have to know about Bratz.
That's right.
They don't have to know about My Scene. They don't have to know about One Direction.
They don't have to know about girl tech.
They don't have to know about
dream life.
They don't have to know about girl culture.
They don't have to know about everythinggirl.com.
Exactly.
They don't have to be able to keep up with what happened in fucking My Scene jamming in Jamaica.
Because if it's marketed to boys, then everyone knows what it is. Pokemon, that's a child, that's made for children, mm-hmm. okay? But somehow more people can accept loving Pokemon into your like
adulthood,
old age over like Barbie.
Yeah.
Or like Hello like Kitty.
Yeah.
And like
Hello Kitty. Yeah,
and
yeah,
like Hello Kitty. Just now people have been like, with the Barbie movie, mm-hmm. people have been like, Barbie's cool. Like the Barbie movie has made Barbie cool. And therefore, like, I feel like a lot of other things. And I honestly, obviously, like Bratz has been coming back into the zeitgeist in a big way. Like people are like, actually Bratz is cool. Mm. That's a cool brand.
Yeah, there's like, they're putting them on
like,
t-shirts.
Remember
but
this.
It's like, it's also like,
but still men don't have to know about it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's interesting because toys in general, boy and girl, are about envisioning something for yourself,
mm-hmm.
like
creating a world.
Barbie is like, this is your fashion sense, this is like Bratz, this is your friend group, dream life, this is your entire dream life in high school, stuff like that. And then for boys it was like Hot Wheels, you have a nice car, you're
Teenage
rough.
Mutant Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, you can be a superhero,
and you can be messy and not give a fuck,
and action figures, like,
like
you literally are the man.
Toys are just for kids to be like, this is the life that could be yours
as an adult.
As
like
an
you
adult.
Were pretending to be an adult. That's what toys are.
Yeah,
like dolls.
Dolls.
I'll say.
Going grocery
action
shopping.
Action figures are dolls.
Kitchens. Exactly. Action figures are fiction. Action figures are dolls. Everybody, like little boys, looked up to the action figures that they had.
That's who they wanted to be when they grew up.
Little girls wanted to be Barbie. They wanted to be Bratz. They wanted to be My Scene. They wanted to have the little fun pink airplane.
And it's invalidated for girls in a way that it's not invalidated for boys.
Right.
That's like, kind of what Barbie represents to me. This moment to me is so crazy because it's like, Barbie should have been everywhere at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't. There should have been an activation outside.
Should have been an activation.
And if it was Batman or if it was Hot Wheels, it would have been.
Right. If it was and Hot Wheels is owned by Mattel. So it's
they're
the
doing
same
a Hot
exact
Wheels
thing.
Next.
Same
so
exact
if we
thing.
Pull up, I'm sorry, if we pull up to Comic-Con the summer that Mattel drops Hot Wheels and there's a giant ass Hot Wheels activation, we will have words to say.
We will have words to say. Because we were going everywhere and everyone thought we were dressed as Barbie, but
we were
it's
like,
just because
this is how we dress.
This is how we dress. This is how we live our lives. And there were a fair amount of Barbie cosplay, not nearly enough in my opinion.
Right.
And people were a little bit like, oh, but they're not the Comic-Con crowd. Like whoever's dressed as Barbie
doesn't get it
what
like,
Comic-Con is.
You don't get what Comic-Con is if you're trying to exclude someone who found safety here. Comic-Con is a space where everybody can come and just be in a different world. And the fanboys like to act like it's not that.
I know. And I also,
they
like
to forget that that's what it is.
I hate the word fanboy and like I am biased.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, like I don't like the gender binary anyway. But to me, fangirls are the basis of fandom and like they're the motor of fandom. And that word has been so disparaged and so looked down upon that I will always claim the word fangirl, even though I feel like I'm non-binary. Like, I will always claim it. And we'll talk, we can talk about it on a different episode. Like, I feel like it's an entire episode to talk about, like, girl culture versus boy culture and like being non-binary and claiming the word fangirl.
Right.
But
since this is just us
updating
y'all on what we've been through.
And to.
Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, let's keep it moving. But that's what we have to say about Barbie. Some people requested things that we touch on. Mm-hmm. Some people requested Good Omens. I touched on it, but please let me know if you want me to talk about it more. I can.
Yes, she can.
And what about it? Somebody wanted to hear about Love on Tour being over for the foreseeable future. I think he needs the break.
Wasn't that a beautiful video that he gave us? It was beautiful. And if you don't know what video I'm talking about, go look at it.
And that's all we have to say about, honestly, like, I'm not really upset about it being over. I think he needs to take a break. He's been touring for way too long.
Right, he needs to take a break. He's been touring for way too long.
And
he will come back.
He'll come back.
There's not a fear in my mind that he's going to come back. And if he doesn't, that's when my real trust issues will begin.
There's a fear in my mind that it'll come back with One Direction.
And you shouldn't have said that. You should have kept that in your mind. Thank you.
Heartstopper season 2. I saw season 1.
I haven't seen it.
I thought it was cute. I honestly thought it was made for kids and teens. So probably. It was a little bit like if it had come out when I was a teenager, I would have loved it. But I didn't really get into it.
Right.
You know,
I feel the same way about Blood and Water. Holler if you guys watch that.
Yeah, like on Netflix. I'm excited because Yasmin Finney from that show is going to be on the Doctor Who 60th anniversary with David Tennant.
What else?
Somebody asked us to talk about Theater Camp, which we have not seen.
We will see it. We haven't seen it.
And I also feel like it's not really fandomy. It's more like culture-y.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that we should look at the requests that we've gotten all time. Can you guys do an analysis of 1D solo albums and rank them?
Not right now.
These are future episodes.
Oh,
these
God are bless.
These are like, future episodes. I haven't even listened to all of their solo albums.
Neither have I. We got some to catch up on.
Exactly. So, and that's an interesting idea.
And we will.
I would do that.
I'll do that for homework.
Somebody says, could you talk more about the period that you stopped liking Five Sauce?
Yeah, we can. We'll probably have to have like that in a Five Sauce dedicated episode.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
We can talk about it.
New podcast about Glee when? We'll talk about Glee. We'll do a
Glee episode, absolutely.
Can y'all talk about Marvel? Yeah, yes. We should do a Marvel episode.
We'll also do a Marvel episode.
Fan fiction.
What about it?
A whole episode about it.
I decline.
You do not.
I do.
What?
I have a different relationship to fan fiction than you do, and that's why you talk about it more than I do.
And what's your relationship?
Something that I don't like to talk about.
Well, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it, but maybe on that episode, not right now.
On that episode, obviously, Amber, but you can't decline talking about it on that episode.
Maybe.
Bitch, you've talked to me about shit.
My boundaries remain mine.
Okay, and that's okay. But we will talk. We will have an episode about fan fiction. We have to. It's like literally the most. It's the most requested.
Yeah, we will.
A bunch of people, and it's not just one person.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all should re-rank your top 10 fandoms through each other's perspective. So Amber does what she believes Amanda's list is, and vice versa.
That shit would be fun as hell.
That would be fun too. And then another person says, I would love if you could do an episode on your current obsessions and how they relate to the past.
Okay.
That's related because when we did our top 10 fandoms, that was all time.
Yeah.
And for me, all time means most potent, and that was in high school.
Right.
And it kind of stopped, but
it's updated.
It's updated. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I would put Doctor Who further up. Mm-hmm. Like, Good Omens and Our Flag Means Death are not on my lists at all. Like, I feel like if we could, like, there is hope.
Yeah.
For future.
Yeah.
For future fandoms.
For sure.
Oh. Our opinion on Dumois.
Okay. That's a fangirl versus pop culture type of situation. We'll do that too.
Yeah. I think that's a big, big greater conversation.
That's a fangirl versus pop culture's fan versus stan conversation.
Fangirl so versus pop, fandom versus pop culture, fan versus stan, and like celebrity culture.
Right. That's a big conversation.
Because we are not into celebrity culture, just to say it right now.
We're not into celebrity culture. If you ask us about something that randomly happened, if we say yes, it's just by coincidence. We don't actually keep up with it.
Right. Like, I don't really care. I don't even care about what's going on in David Tennant's personal life.
And I don't care what's going on in Zayn or Harry or anyone in One Direction.
We'll keep all of these things in mind. And also, like, just tell us your requests. We take these requests. We keep them. We keep note of them. We love to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, we do.
And
it's actually therapeutic.
Review us on anywhere you're listening to this, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you're listening. Please give us a review. Give us a five stars if you
give
really
us a comment. Tell us what you think.
Follow us on.
Tell us if you relate.
Add us on Patreon to get bonus episodes.
You can find Amanda at what handle?
Amanda Lane Miller. And on Instagram.
And on Instagram, you can find me at Amber L. Miller.
And you can find Fangirl Central on fangirl.central on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
Yes.
And just keep it
chaotic. That's right. That's right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.